A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, an epic battle between light and dark was fought.
We're your hosts, Shalom and Courtney, and we're calling all Jedi junkies. From Tatooine to Jakku, to buckle up for this hyperdrive adventure through the galaxy.
You're listening to Jedi Junkies on Almost Nerdy.
We are going to spoil these movies, so make sure you've already watched them.
Welcome, guys, to the final official episode of Jedi Junkies.
Yes. But we do have a bonus episode next week for The Mandalorian.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda, we love you.
We love you so much.
So we are talking about Rise of Skywalker. Hopefully you have seen it by now, or you have saved this episode until you've had time to see it.
Yeah.
Because we're going to spoil it.
We are going to spoil the heck out of it.
And there's some big things that happen in this movie, and I don't want to ruin that surprise for you.
Yeah.
Unless you're like Shalom and you're really good at guessing movies, which is annoying. When he sits there and he's like, I bet blah, blah, blah. And then it happens. And I'm like, excuse you.
Some of it is kind of predictable. You know, like I love shows that I can't predict. You know, like Stranger Things definitely was a unpredictable thing for me. So that's one of my favorite shows because it just takes me on a different journey that I'm like, wow, this is surprising.
Yeah.
But coming back to Star Wars, are you surprised that I'm the one bringing us back to the topic?
I am surprised.
But then I took us off topic as well. I took us off topic
as well.
That's
Shalom's redemption arc.
My redemption arc.
Takes us off arc, brings us back.
Slash Ben.
Okay. Right. So I'm going to do a 2-sentence summary, and then we are going to rate this movie, and then we're going to dive into it.
Let's do it.
So here is my 2-sentence summary.
Okay.
Kylo Ren finds the hidden place of the Emperor, who has a plan to bring Rey to his side, but he also wants to kill her. Ben and Rey instead kill Palpatine. But she's also found out that she's Palpatine, even though Ben told her that she was a no one.
Okay, so I like how you kind of sound like you're doing the Shalom a little bit.
I was. I definitely was.
Like, listen, this is what happens, okay?
I also have a hard time when we've only seen a movie once, because like I'm like, at least watch it 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, at least. So when we do like live series where I haven't had a chance to watch it a bazillion times,
it's very difficult.
It's hard. It's really difficult. Hard.
Yeah, but I think we came out of this movie with a pretty clear sense of where we stand with the different things. Mm-hmm. And so you want to start with things we liked?
You forgot to rate it.
Oh my gosh. As
Jumping ahead.
Okay.
How would you rate this movie? Let's rate it.
I was gonna go to the positive. I'm so eager to do the positive. So we move on to the negative.
But you're so bad.
I would rate it. I'll give it a 5 out of 10. 5 out of 10.
I would give this movie a 6 out of 10. I'm gonna be honest. There was one specific part that we'll get to when we talk about things that we didn't like. That knocked it, I'm pretty sure, from an 8 to a 6.
Wow.
Like, it knocked it down 2 points for me because I was just so morally upset by it. Yeah, knocked it down 2 points. I would give this movie a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the infamous kiss.
I hated it.
The kiss.
I hated it. I'm
Which
sorry.
Which we will discuss this at length.
Get ready. Get your popcorn.
I'm excited. Okay.
Let's start with things that we liked first, though. Because I do think, overall, this was a pretty fun movie.
Yes.
There was a lot going for it, a lot of good things. But I do think that at the end of the day, you need to look at it in... Like, you want to look at it alone as a movie, but also it needs to fit within the trilogy. This is the third movie in a trilogy. There are certain expectations that you have within a third movie.
That is
so
true.
Just going from there, things that we liked.
Wow.
Definitely for me, nostalgic parts. I thought they had some really great nostalgic parts.
Yeah.
Love seeing Lando. Mm-hmm. C-3PO, I think, really got a time to shine. Like, so much. His one line where he looked, like, they're like, can you calculate the odds? Like, you do it better than anyone else. Because that's, like, all he does ever.
Yeah.
So, having him turn and be like, I'm taking one last look at my friends. I was like, gut punch.
Yeah, they definitely did, like, you know, teaspoon of sugar type of effect with that. So it's that, like, this is going to be a hard one. Here's some nice things to enjoy. Here's some Lando. Here's Lando. here's Harrison Ford. He's back. Surprise.
Exactly.
You know? And so it was fun. It was fun to see some of those parts. You know, obviously, there's a bad side to it as well. But we're focusing on the positive right now. Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah, you're right. Like the nostalgia parts were really cool. I love
Death Star again.
The Death Star moment was pretty cool.
Yeah,
like by the time we hit the Death Star moment, I was starting to be a little fed up. To be honest, I was hitting my peak, so I didn't really enjoy it as much as I should. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that they did it, I was seeing a lot of awesome pictures, shots as they were like acting that out. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm. I think for me also, I am like absolutely, absolutely obsessed with like this dyad story. Like freaking loved that.
Yes.
Like that whole idea that like the lineage has come to this point where like the grandchildren, right, of like the original from the original trilogy are like somehow like connected specially.
Yeah.
I was like, that's wild. That's such a beautiful, beautiful idea.
Yeah. It's kind of scary as well because it's all a Palpatine thing.
Yes. And it's all a Palpatine thing.
It really makes Palpatine more central to the story because Anakin, we kind of see Anakin as a Force baby.
Yes.
Who
Force
is.
Force baby.
Anakin made him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Palpatine made him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or it's so assumed, right? Uh-huh. And then you have, that means Luke, Leia, all those, you know, that whole lineage, that is all from this thing that Palpatine started. And then now you have this another kid who runs away, I guess. It looks like he runs away to the bush and becomes no one. Just more lies in the Star Wars universe.
From a certain perspective.
From a certain perspective. And so this one kid has a kid, and here is Rey, who is kind of like, I don't even know if this other kid was supposed to be a Force baby and then ran away.
Oh, like Rey's dad.
Right,
we don't
Rey's
know if Rey's dad.
Right? We don't even know if that's
Force
the case
baby.
Because we never hear about Palpatine having a wife and stuff like that. So, and he's weird.
You don't have to
he's
be married to
guy.
Have a baby, Shalom.
I know. I know, but he's weird. Like, he even goes like,
have you seen his face?
Things. Yeah, I'm like, so this guy does not have kids the normal way.
And Snoke. Like, Snoke is a clone.
He's
a clone. So, like, Palpatine just lives by Palpatine rules. Like, who even knows what's happening?
Like, all these people all over the place.
I know in these previous episodes, I've always said that I'm a big fan of Rey being a nobody. Like, I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
I was surprised how excited I was that she was a Palpatine. Mm. Like, and I think it's the dyad that did it for me. I think that concept of the dyad. And then also, for me, it's like, I think that makes Last Jedi make a little bit more sense. Like, why was it so easy to connect Kylo and Rey? Like, why was that connection so easy? Because it's already existent. Like, it's something that's supposed to happen.
Right.
So I thought that was really, really cool. I was really into that. I didn't think I was going to like the reveal of, like, who her parents were.
Yeah.
But I actually really liked that she was the granddaughter of Palpatine. Like, a lot. I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I suspected she was someone, but I didn't see that particular angle.
Yeah.
The Palpatine angle. That was very different. At the same time, you know, the whole diet thing has caused a lot of confusion.
Yes.
A lot of people. People are kind of stuck on some people are going as far as say they're married. I mean, slow
I don't
down.
Think they're married.
Let's slow down. Let's calm down.
Let's calm
they're
down.
They're not married. It can also be like a relationship between a mother and a son, like brothers or sisters.
Dyad
it can
two.
Be diet part two. And we we'll sort of prove that by what J.J. Abrams says when we discuss the infamous kiss. So
Shalom just wants to talk about this kiss so bad.
I'm wrapping it up.
He's wild. I also really liked finally getting to see Leia train. Because we got a hint of that in Last Jedi. Like, we know that it's within the canon.
Right.
That Leia actually does do some Jedi training with Luke. Like, we know that, but we never actually, like, see it. So I was really excited by that scene.
Right.
I even thought the CGI was pretty good with, like, their faces and everything. Pretty good. I thought that was cool. Yeah. I really enjoyed
that part. I wish they did the whole movie CGI, like, for Leia, that is. Because they didn't use CGI for her parts. It was more, like, kind of... just copy paste, you know, in video wise, and
rough.
And that was kind of rough to watch. She her movements, you know, were kind of weird. You actually pointed it out.
It actually kind of freaked me out. I don't want to. I have one more thing that I really liked, but I'll just touch on this quickly. I felt like, just because I've seen so many performances by Carrie Fisher, this didn't seem genuine to the film. And I know that Leia was really central, but I almost wished, which even though it is pretty creepy to like CGI a face onto like another actor, but it's like at least you get the genuine performance of the actor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think for me, it's like that would have been more important, I think. And like if they wanted to keep certain places where it was just genuinely the extra footage from The Last Jedi, like keep that. But I also felt like a lot of it seemed a little forced because they were trying to, like what you said, like copy paste and like fit something in to something that doesn't fit.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. Like, it's really unfortunate. Like, who would expect like Carrie Fisher to pass away? Yeah. Like, it's really unfortunate, but I did feel like it felt a little forced, which kind of held back the stories in other ways that we'll kind of get to.
Yeah, and that's tied to the positive of the CGI that they actually did. It was awesome. So it's kind of weird. It's hard to talk about the positive or the negative in this movie without having almost like a counterbalance, like kind of like, oh, what if you did this? That would have been really awesome. So it was really cool to see that Luke and Leia training kind of scenario.
Yeah, I really
cool.
like that.
Really well done. It does raise questions, but we'll get there. Yeah.
I also loved... I just loved, like, quests. So, like, this quest for, like, that little, like... I forget what it's called. The little tracker thing so that they can get to, like, the Sith place. I love that. Like, I love that. I love scavenger hunts. I'm like, give me more.
Yeah.
my only back thing to that is like, so there's like this dagger. And how do you know, like, I don't know. I feel like things like age over time. And it's been like, what, 40 years since the Death Star fell. So it's like, would the dagger line up to the Death Star? After 40 years of like wreckage, like, it's not something that's super old that's like been there for a long time. It's not like ruins like that. So it's like, I don't know. I thought that seemed a little bit far-fetched.
But I
really liked the time on the Death Star, and I really liked, I like that quest. Yeah. I like that when she goes in there, she sees Dark Rey, and like, it's that, you know, embrace who you are.
Yeah.
Whole, like, I like that story. I think that's very genuine to the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. I feel like this movie has a lot of great ideas. The execution is short, to be honest. And one of the things, like, with this scavenger hunt, you know, is that I loved that. I loved the snake scene, you know. I 99.9999999% expected her to switch to parcel time and speak to the snake. That didn't happen. Probably because we're listening too much to Harry Potter books. But I was expecting it, like, hush, yeah, hush, hush. And then the snake is like, ooh.
I was expecting that.
A little crossover for Harry Potter / Star Wars fans. But... I enjoy the scavenger hunt. They is almost like a, it's hard to believe, you know, on the other hand. It's hard to, it doesn't feel believable to me. It's like, okay, so he had this secret base and then he had all these weird little maps.
Yeah.
You know, you're a Jedi dude. Like, you're not a Jedi, you're a Sith Lord. You can, you can put the map in someone's mind from a billion miles away, and then
a natural way,
you know. And then and then at the same time, I think yeah, like that. Like even his secret message to the galaxy, you know.
Yeah, like
that whole storyline, to be honest, just wasn't super believable for me. It just felt a little weird. But I really didn't mind. Mm-hmm. At first I was kind of like, oh, let's see where this goes, let's see where this journey is going. But as I saw the other characters and the other elements that were happening with Chewbacca, with Poe,
Finn and Poe together?
I just mixed it. With the characters, with Rose, some of the things that happened with these characters, I started realizing that, like, I feel like some of these scavenger hunt kind of pieces took away from things that could have actually developed, you know, these characters, yeah, and giving them more breathing space, like, and even give a satisfying ending to the movie. Mm-hmm. And I feel like at the end of the day, you know, it took up a lot of space, but it was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch when
you see it, like, at first you're like, ooh,
you're like excited. Where are you gonna go? Exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. But then later on you're like, oh, but was this worth it? You know, was this really, like, we could have done without it. We could have done, you know, other things. Yeah.
It's interesting that you say, like, the ending kind of wasn't satisfactory, because, like, I actually enjoyed the ending when Rey is back on, like, Tatooine, and you've got, like, you know, she buries the two lightsabers, and she's got her own lightsaber, and it's a new color.
Yeah.
And I think I enjoyed that, and I felt like I'm really hoping that they don't open the Star Wars, like, the Skywalker, like, whole can of worms again, because they're a hot mess family. Like, I'm just hoping they don't open that again.
Yeah.
You know, they are saying that they're going to do another, like, non-Skywalker saga is supposed to come up. So we'll see what they do with it. But I'm hoping, I did feel like it brought a close, like, a close to the Skywalkers at the very end. And I like that.
Yeah. I think that in my mind, I think that they could have included, actually, they could have included all the other characters to allow the movie to have this fresh take. You know, one of the critics that, you know, we kind of checked out in the last week talks about how Finn was a missed opportunity. And one of the things he points out that I 100% agree with is that he has the most different story.
Yep.
His story is the most unique. Someone who's leaving.
Yep.
The stormtroopers.
Yep.
And they really didn't do anything, but I feel like there's some patchwork that they did, especially with, in all honesty, in the first movie, it was like, wow, Rey and Finn, like, this is a connection. There's some love. He cares for her. He'll go anywhere to save her.
Literally chases her around the galaxy.
Like, literally chases her around the galaxy. Not chasing.
He follows her around the galaxy.
Yeah, not chasing. I mean,
Kylo is chasing. Literally chases her like a psycho.
Yeah.
Like a freaking psycho.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things where it's like, okay, like, you know, you could have done so much better with that story. Mm-hmm. Rather, they went down a path where, you know, they kind of created almost like a steamy kind of scenario between Kylo and Rey. And a lot of fans ate it up, to be honest. Like, a lot of fans are like, ooh, this is hot. Reylo! you know, and I think, to be honest with you, like, the, you know, the her kiss, and also, you know, the kiss between Kylo and Rey, and also the kiss between Finn and Rose, awkward.
Yeah,
both awkward. They were really super awkward. And I think that, like, they could have, there's so much more they could have done with these characters that they had such missed opportunity. And then in The Rise of Skywalker, they pretend like the whole, you know, Finn Rose situation never happened.
Yeah,
it's like they don't even talk. I mean, you know,
did they not do that when Luke and Leia kissed? They never talk about that again.
They do address, with us, I feel like with the audience, they do address, Luke and Leia. They're like, okay, guys, they're actually brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Here we go. And then they're talking and they're interacting. And then actually Han gets jealous, mm-hmm. right? And so they could have done something with the Rose Finn situation, which I think initially that's a whole mistake. The fact that they kissed was a mistake. But then they go to the point where they almost like ignore it. Like it never happened. Mm. Rose has very, very minimal parts. All of a sudden, they take this character who also has an amazing story. Her sister laid down her life.
Yeah.
You know, when on the bombing mission.
Yeah.
And then there's that whole adventure she has with Finn. Like she's smart. She's, you know, she's really in it. She's part of the crew now. And then all of a sudden they sidelined her.
Yeah.
And I mean, if we don't address these things, you know, then we're actually, you know, not doing our jobs properly. The fact is that a lot of fans pressured the writers to do that. A lot of fans were like, actually literally even harassed Kelly, who acts as Rose. They harassed her, and to the point that the writers ended up doing what they did, and which I think it's a shame. It's a terrible shame. I think that, you know, sometimes fans are like, guys, like, let's, you know, and it's not all fans, not every single fan, but I'm like, yeah, that's a shame. It's terrible. It shouldn't be that way. Mm. When, you know, it's okay to cater to fans. I get that because they're your fans and they're following you. But when you start to murder characters like that and then the kiss, you know, which is character suicide, really, because of just the emotional and the relationship between Kylo and Rey is unhealthy. So it's sad to see those things happen.
Okay, before we dive into specifics, which I already kind of did a little bit,
sorry,
he's kind of went on his thing, I just wanted to kind of say, like, I know something that Shlomo and I talked about with this movie, like, most of the reason that we didn't love it, besides the Kylo Rey kiss, which I absolutely despised and made me want to throw up, was that I just feel like this movie really points out to us, like, how much of a plan they did not have for this trilogy.
Yeah.
When you go back and you look at the prequels, you're like, you know what? Those movies had terrible dialogue. Terrible, terrible dialogue and awkward situations and, like, Jar Jar, like, I don't know. That was weird. So, like...
Why Jar Jar?
So, it's, like, there was a lot of weird stuff in the first ones, but it's, like, at least they had a solid plan. At least you know that they were, like, we're going from here to here and there was no, like, inner fighting. I think with this movie, it was so, so clear that there was definitely inner fighting. Because it's, like... You had the original, the original one.
Yeah.
Force Awakens that sets the scene. And then The Last Jedi, although a lot of people didn't like it, I thought was a nice, fresh take on Star Wars. I thought it was very new. Mm-hmm. At that point, we've already had 7 movies that were, like, all kind of the same. Mm. So the 8th one was really fresh.
Yeah.
And then it was. The beginning of this movie, I would say at least the first 40 minutes, if not longer, the first, like, hour, is basically undoing everything that we learned.
Absolutely.
In The Last Jedi. Absolutely. Which for me was really annoying for many ways because, A, you need to pick up the pace of the movie. Mm-hmm. So the movie's going very quick. Mm-hmm. B, that actually takes out a lot of kind of, like, I would say almost like the fun and the danger of a movie because you're speeding things up so much that, like, you can't have these scenes where you're like, oh no, are they going to get out of it? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't, I think the best example is when they're on the, like, one, like, Poe's planet where we find out that he was a spice runner and they're leaving. And as they're getting off, I'm like, it's so unrealistic that they're having absolutely no issues getting off of this, off of this ship. You know, this enemy ship. Is it still First Order? I'm not even sure. I forget.
The Last Order.
Like, they have no issue getting off. And it's like Kylo's literally on the ship with Rey. And she just jumps off and, like, gets back on the Millennium Falcon. It's like there was no danger. There was no, like, it wasn't hard for her to get off. Like,
she's super overpowered.
Oh, yes. Not even going there yet. I'm just saying, like, you know, the guys, like, barely even get into trouble. Yeah. Like, it's like you're not even worried about them because it's so easy for them to get out, which I think is like, kind of awful, because one of the things I really liked about The Last Jedi is, like, The Last Jedi talked a lot about, like, smart, like, being smart. Like, being smart with war and making good decisions and, like, hard decisions sometimes, but, like, good decisions. And I feel it's like this
tense.
One...
It's a very tense movie. Yeah. It's, like, very scary. Yeah.
We got back into, like, almost this, like, everything's easy for the heroes. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, was, like, was very
no matter
sad.
What choice they make...
No matter what choice
it works out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it always works out.
Yeah.
And that was really sad to me. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And then I also feel like they kind of had some, like, almost, like, useless, like, in quotes, deaths. Mm. Like, Chewbacca. Chewbacca wasn't even dead that long.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like, we didn't... I was like, that felt, like, wasted. Wasted, and again, with, yeah, like, again, wasted. With C-3PO, it's like, he's like, I'm looking at my friends for the last time. But then...
Sweet moment. Mm.
It was... And it was a sweet moment. Mm-hmm. But then he gets all of his memories back because R2-D2 gives everything back to him. So, it's like, I almost felt like some of these things were, like, a little bit wasted, if that makes sense.
You know, honestly, it really felt like a fan fest. In, like, there's this element of the movie where it's just, like, them, you know, it's a homage to fans. It's Which not really a story.
I don't think that that's a good way to word it, because I think you and I are fans.
Okay, like, I mean, when I say fans, like, you know, it's a homage to stans. Okay, like, for lack of a better word, I think we are fans, but I think there's we're very objective when it comes to when we watch these movies. We can watch Doctor Who and be like, oh, that was a weird season. Yeah. You know, what happened? Where are the Daleks? Well, those people, you know, and we've done a podcast where we praise Doctor Who. And then we've later on gone like, ugh, that was weird.
Yeah.
But we are like, we love it like wholeheartedly. Yeah. But I think that there is a version of fans that almost, it's like if you give them certain things, certain storylines or certain ideas or, you know, the for example, Reylo. You know, if you give them Reylo and they're happy. They're like, oh my gosh, that was so sweet. You know, and when actually it literally story-wise, and when it comes to good story, good storytelling, it makes absolutely no sense at all. But what happens in this movie, what is that a lot of, they are doing that fan service, you know, where it's like, hey, ho, look, here's Han. Han is here to tell you guys that even though Kylo killed him, he forgives him. So you guys, it's fine. Kylo's going to do some great things. No one freak out. So let's move on and forget that he did any of those things. So it's really, there's just a lot of that, like, you know, that teaspoon of sugar, like where it's like, oh, here's that. Oh, here you go. Here's the Death Star.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that continues to happen throughout. And I think that, like, to the point where it really was too much. It was too much. I like nostalgia, but you could see that, okay, you guys are just, like, distracting us. Where the story really isn't a solid story. You're right, like, it's not cohesive with the other movies. Hence, like, even, I mean, critics, I sometimes disagree with critics. I'm like, oh, what are critics looking at? This is so weird. But in this situation, I could not deny it. Like, it got a 56%?
58, I think.
Something like that. And I agree with that score, and I agree with their reasoning in that the story is terrible. It's not a good story because it's not connected to the other movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of patchwork. There's a lot of fan service. And it's not believable.
I feel like you really want to talk about the Kylo Ray kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Because you keep talking about it. Yeah. So let's just go there. Let's just go there. I was not a fan of this. Yeah. I was really disappointed when that happened because I just feel like there are so many little girls who look up to Rey. And I'm also a Rey fan. Like, I'm a big Rey fan. So I think, like, maybe if you're not a Rey fan, this doesn't bother you as much. But it really bothers me because, like, for me, Kylo is an abuse story.
Yeah.
Like, I know that everybody is like, no, she's kissing Ben, not Kylo. But I'm like, he's one body.
Yes.
He's one body, you know? Yes. And it's like, do you think that because he's now Ben again, that absolves him of everything. Even if he's, like, kind of repented, like, he's repented of it. He wants to be good again, right? But at the end of the day, you're right. He killed his dad. He has completely, like, blown up planets. He's done all these terrible, terrible, awful things, right? Mm-hmm. He's killed so many people. Mm-hmm. He would still be brought to justice. Mm-hmm. Even though he doesn't identify as Kylo anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still the same person. And it's like, I think that the Anakin, the Anakin Darth Vader thing, I think that worked back in the 80s/early 90s. Like, I think it worked then. But I think that we've come to a place socially where, like, that's just not an acceptable storyline anymore. Like, and also, like, the other thing about, like, the Anakin... like the Anakin
and Vader
story, and Vader storyline is Padme leaves him. Padme leaves him.
Yeah.
Like, she does not stick around.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, this is a storyline where you're telling, like, young women, like, it's okay to accept, like, a man's super terrible behavior. A guy who's literally, like, followed you around the galaxy and is telling you to become evil and be like him. Like, it's, like, telling her to, like, accept that. And I know that people are like, but he was Ben at the end and not Kylo. And I'm like, no, they're the same person. Like, at the end of the day, they're the same person.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, I just find that really unacceptable. And, again, she is someone that young girls look up to. Like, little girls freak the, like, they freak out when they see her in Disney World. They freak out.
They love her.
We've seen it. They like, we've seen it when we've been to Disney. Yeah. Like, they freaking love her. She's, like... they're like role model, and to that's see why the ending
is so disappointing.
That's why it's really disappointing to me. Yeah. And I was like, I can't. I really, really could not believe that. And like, I understand that people felt like in The Last Jedi that there was like a lot of like sexual tension between the two of them. Like maybe I'm like an innocent little baby. Like I wasn't getting sexual tension from it per se. I really was just getting this like intense like. Something can like clearly there was a connection, but like I wasn't getting that they were gonna be like making out. So I don't know. I guess like I was And I know the other thing that people also say is like Kylo. It's because Kylo is the only one who will who gets her in like the Force and that struggle with light and dark. But I'm like, I don't see how, like, Finn is not valid in this situation because he's Force sensitive. He also was, like, literally trained evil and became good.
So, yeah, so why make it make him Force sensitive, you know, where which brings him closer to her?
Yes.
Whilst like, bringing in Ben and saying, oh, this is Reylo, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that... you know, one of the things that we need, let's get this out of the way. Let's get this idea out of our minds of this Jekyll and Hyde thing. It's non-existent. It does not exist. The rules are very clear. He is, you don't like one personality does not like physically or in reality destroy the other. It's more metaphorical. Obi-Wan Kenobi says that, hey, listen, dude, Vader killed your dad, right? And then later on, you know, Luke is like, why did you tell me, Ben? Why did you tell me, Ben? And then Obi-Wan is like, no, from a certain perspective.
Vader
killed your dad. From a certain perspective. So this is not even about like, no, like really the Force takes over and you become this other person and you change. No, you are the same person who's making
just being a liar.
Decision and choices. You're making choices that lead you down a certain path. Yeah. And so I think that we need to get that out of the way. This idea that all of a sudden, you know, Kylo becomes Ben and like, oh my gosh, he's changed. He's changed. He's different. He's old. No. He's still the same guy who killed like probably millions of people. Yep. And so that's just one of those things where we need to get that idea out of our minds. That's non-existent. It's not real. It's not, the rules are clear. Like there's no, it's not Jekyll and Hyde. It's very different. And so then also, like, it's very important to realize that J.J. Abrams talks about the kiss. And when he looks pretty confronted. I didn't listen to how he was questioned. But they're in a movie house and they ask him about the kiss. And he says that, oh, you know what? I didn't think that, like, in my mind, it wasn't romantic. it was supposed to be like a brotherly kiss, like a spiritual kiss, like
barf.
So it's kind of like he backtracks on like, and I'm like, dude, we're not children. We're not like, you're not talking to like a 2-year-old who's like, oh my, why do they kiss? And you're like, oh no, listen, little 3-year-old Jenny, like this wasn't really a sexual kiss. It was friends. You know, it's like, no, that is nonsense. Even for that, that's ridiculous. And I think that like, it's like, no, like you can also see just like by his response there, just how he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
He did not know what he was doing. And I feel like the storyline, as much as like fans, a lot of fans would differ with us on this, it really, that was not supposed to happen. That was not supposed to take place. That was pandering. Mm-hmm. It was because the last movie got so much flack, even though it's got a great rating. It's got like
That's a
90
really
something,
rating.
90 something percent critic yeah. rating, critic score, which is hard to get.
Yeah.
And it, like, they still had to do what they call damage control.
Yeah.
We call it the opposite. They're like, no, you took something good and you like trashed it. And they just came up with this story that really was all about pleasing fans. Mm. And you know, I'm on Twitter a lot, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what people think about this. And one of, you know, some of the responses I saw, it was like some people saying, they deserve better. Said better. Ben should have lived. Ben. I'm like, really, guys? Like, really? You know, is that what you think? And I think sometimes it we separate. Sometimes I think when you're a super fan and you got someone that you, a character that you love, I think especially with these movies, there's we since Sopranos, you know, there's this thing about, you know, the villain and falling and loving the villain and saying, wow, we want the villain redeemed. The point that even when there's someone who's like, you killed my father, you killed my family, you killed my uncle, my brothers, my dog, my pet snake, you killed all these things. And then he's like, I want revenge. And we will side with the villain rather than the person who had his whole entire life destroyed because of that person's existence. So I think that because of just this time that we're living in, where the villain is, in a sense, romanticized, I think it's very easy for a personality like Kylo to be someone that people fall in love with and say, hey, like, you know, oh my gosh, Kylo, get the girl. Oh my gosh, get the girl. This is how it's supposed to be. And so you see that a lot, you know, from the responses I saw on Twitter.
So what would you say, because you're a huge Darth Vader fan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a villain.
Yes.
But you love him. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is the difference between Darth Vader and Kylo for you?
Yeah, like I Vader is totally different in that I feel like there is a sense, in the Vader story, there's a sense of the redemption story is pure, you know? Mm-hmm. It's pure. It's... I leave going like, wow, so there's hope for someone who's really messed up, who comes to a place where he's like, wow, I can do the right thing, and I can actually, you know, I can save my family. I can lay down my life for my kid right now. And I feel there's a purity to that. And Kylo could have had that. I think Kylo could have had that, but I feel like they really made it dirty by you know, having these what they thought would be hard moments, where like the, you know, shirtless moment with Rey, you know, weird.
That was
and,
so weird.
And the kiss, you know, and I feel like the kiss for me took a story that was supposed to be just a redemption story to being this love story, a twisted love story. And I feel like a lot of people focus a lot on this, the love story, and like how hard it would have been for Rey and Finn, Rey and Kylo to be together. And I feel like that moment tainted it for me.
Mm.
It could have been done much better. Have Kylo wake Rey up, have Kylo die. Beautiful story. He died doing the right thing.
Mm.
And even though he did a lot of bad things, we will like talk about the bad things, but his ending showed redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that actually brings up the force healing thing.
Mm.
I'm kind of like,
mm-hmm.
ugh. I feel like they, like the characters were just too strong in this movie. Like, I just feel like they were too strong.
Mm.
If you, if we still had like the Jedi Council where there are like Jedi training people, like I think I would understand like the strength. And like maybe the whole thing is that like Rey has the old Jedi tech, so like maybe some of that's happening. Like I don't really know, but like again, Force healing is this is the very first time we've seen this.
Yeah.
We've never heard of it before. We've never seen it before. Like it's new. And I don't know if they like hopefully you are caught up on your baby Yoda. If you're not, cover your ears for like 2 seconds. But like Yoda force heals. Baby Yoda force heals in the newest episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't know if they would like intentionally put the Mandalorian on Wednesday and then like Star Wars came out that Friday, like to introduce people to the concept of force healing, or if like they were doing that because they didn't want the two competing because they knew it was the same fan base. Like, I'm not really sure, but you know, I felt like that was something like even when they're like holding with their like force powers, like holding that like craft, that like cargo ship, like the two, like Kylo and Rey.
I was like,
crazy. What's happening there? That's insane. Crazy. Like, there's just like so many things that I feel like were just like insane that they were doing. Even even Rey, like reflecting the like force lightning, like that's a very specific thing that like you learn. Like we only really see Windu and Yoda do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, like, that's a specific skill that you need to learn. Like, that's not just something that people can just do.
Yeah.
You can't just do that. Like, you have to learn those skills. And so, like, I don't think, even though Leia was training Rey, like, Leia wouldn't know those skills, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I feel like there were, like, some jumps in logic there. And they were just like, but it will be awesome so people will like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it definitely, like, they... It's like how did you learn to do that? How did you learn to reflect? Like, it was Palpatine literally is like just like almost like destroying those ships. The ships are falling.
Like,
a billion ships are falling, and then he like throws that same force at Rey, and she's like,
just like whatever. I'm like
kind of like a weird, like, you know, I'm gonna make it so many Harry Potter like references. You know, kind of like, you know, like the sorcerer's stone kind of moment where Harry's going to die and then his family comes.
No, like, resurrection stone.
Resurrection stone, you're right, yes. The resurrection stone, and they're like, we're with you, let's go. Let's go. That's what it felt like. I'm like, we're here, we're with you. I was like, this is awkward. This is weird. It's fan service.
I kind of like that part. Shalom doesn't like that part. I like that part. I kind of like the idea of, like, she... Because in the beginning, like, Rey is a character who's always been lonely.
Yeah.
So, like, I like that at the end, she's really, like... She really embodies being a Jedi. Mm. And, like, because of that, like, all the Jedi are with her. Like, as a lonely person, she gets that.
Mm.
And I liked that.
I just don't know if that was the right time to do that, though. Like, I just don't know if that was, like, the moment to, like, to have that, like, you know, group hug kind of moment. Like, I don't know. But I think I agree with you about, like, definitely overpowered.
Yeah.
So many gaps. And yeah, it did please fans. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, it did please. When you look at this movie,
The CGI was phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
And I loved it.
It's a fan fest.
But I hated it.
Right. Like, you know, fans, and you, like, when you look at the ratings, fans enjoyed this movie. Or rather,
we're fans too, Shalom.
We're fans too. But...
Just didn't enjoy it.
Right, like, we just enjoyed it, but most fans enjoyed it from the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But most critics didn't.
Yeah.
And they point out certain things that are wrong, and I think that from what we've discussed, we also agree with a lot of what the critics say. Mm.
So, my theme, surprise, surprise, comes from Rey, because we all know how much I love Rey.
Yay.
Not as much as Yoda, but I really love Rey. She's a fan. And I will forgive her for the Kylo kiss, because he just saved her life, and, like, she probably, like, had that, like, coming back from the dead.
But it's a,
like,
sister. It's a brother-sister kiss.
No. She had the, like, coming back from the dead, like, fuzzy brain. So, like, she just made a snap judgment. It's fine. Everything's fine. So, anyway. It comes from Rey because I think something that has kind of been Rey's whole story throughout this saga is like not knowing who she is, and then when she does find out, she doesn't let that change who she knows that she is. So she finds out that she's a Palpatine, and it's like, you know, it's this heritage of just destruction.
Yeah.
And she has this power in her, and she knows that this power is used for evil. But in the end, she doesn't let that get to her. And I think one of the most touching moments of the whole movie is when she is, you know, she has the TIE fighter and she's like blown it up and everything. And Luke, Force Ghost Luke, comes to her and he's like, hey, you know, like, Leia knew that you were a Palpatine. And guess what? She still trained you.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't believe that, like, blood means anything.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
She doesn't believe that. And it's like, I think that she had that same belief in Kylo as well, where, like, yes, they, like, had this Vader blood in them, right? You know, they kept saying, like, too much Vader in him, too much Vader in him. But, like, she still believed in Kylo, and she still believed that he could come back. So I really liked that, as well as at the end where she gets... She's asked, like, who are you? And she's like, Rey Skywalker. And, like, kind of choosing that light side over the dark. Although you could argue that, like, isn't Skywalker kind of tainted because of Darth Vader anyway? But who knows? But, again, like, I do think that that's a good theme of being, like, just because something has been done in your heritage, like, it's the way that, like, your parents were, your grandparents were, or, like, whatever. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do that. And it doesn't even mean, like, I don't even think that's necessarily, like, something like, oh, like, my whole family did this terrible thing. It's like, it could even be something as small as, like, oh, my whole family has always been doctors or lawyers or whatever. But, like, if you're not into that, you're not into that. Like, don't feel like you need to force yourself into a career. Because your whole family has done it. If that's not who you are.
Yeah, that's good.
And, like, being able to choose who you are.
That's good.
And your destiny. I like that. I liked that from this movie.
Yeah. I think it's, yeah, you're right. Like, the Skywalker name is weird, too, you know? Like, I mean, both families are just destroying everything. But...
Well, I mean, they destroyed the universe, like, three times.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's the idea of choosing, the idea of saying this is who I am, and kind of like an adoption kind of theme there, where it's like, you know, Leia took Rey in and trained her, even though she knew where she was from. And I thought that was really cool. My theme is examples of freedom, and we talked about Finn, who met the other stormtroopers who left, and which I thought felt a little cheap to me, mainly because I'm like, okay, you know, Finn can't be with Rey anymore. Guess what? He's black. Let's hook him up with another black person, and I'm sure people will be happy with that. But what I took from that, a positive I took from that, is the fact that, you know, freedom can be an example. You're choosing freedom. You're choosing to be free. You're choosing to walk away from certain things can be an example to other people. And just how they're like, wow, you're FN21, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, you're this. Like, you're an inspiration. And I think that it's really cool. Sometimes, like, our journey, we think our journey is just our journey, and we're just going through stuff, and everything's crappy, everything's hard, and we need to push through, and eventually we make it, yay. And one of the things that I think a lot of us, you know, whatever journey you're on, small, big, a lot of surprises sometimes is a random person who's like, yo, I watched you doing this small thing or this big thing, and that's my inspiration. That's what brought me here. Like, that allowed me to fight and push for my dreams, and or allowed me to fight my addiction or whatever. And it's really cool when we realize that wow, like, you know, there are people, always people, that are watching us and are inspired by the good choices that we make.
And I also think that sometimes I think as humans, we kind of just get into, like, patterns. Like, I think we like scheduled life and all of that. And it's like, I think if you don't see someone doing something, like, out of the ordinary, like, it doesn't seem like something that you can do. Like, I think that they say, I forget what the actual statistic is, but like the amount of women who are in STEM jobs now has risen exponentially. But it's like it took the first few women to get in there for other women to be like, oh, I do like science. Like, I can that's do it not. Too, yeah. Because it's like one of those things where it's like, it's not that I can do it too, but it's like you almost feel weird for liking it, I think sometimes. Mm. Or like you don't even realize, like, you don't realize like the social pressure that's on you.
Wow.
To like not be into it.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So it's like you almost feel like it's not an option to you, even though, like, because you almost don't think about it critically a little bit. Because, like, you're just being a human and going about your human life, which is busy. And, like, you know, everything's so, I feel like life is so busy that it's, like, sometimes you don't get a chance to just sit there and be, like, why do I feel like I don't want that career? And you don't think, like, oh, that, like, I don't want it because when you look at it, like, socially, like, it's always been men who are, like, this career. But so I think that it's one of those things. And I think Finn's a great example where it's, like, you know, he's one of the first stormtroopers to ever turn. And it's, like, him turning made other stormtroopers be, like, wait a second.
We can turn too.
We can do it too. Like, that's an option. Like, I didn't even think about that as an option before. You know, so I thought that that was a really good thing.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. All right, so we're going to wrap this up.
Yes, we are. So next week, bonus episode, Mandalorian.
Bonus.
Make sure you are caught up.
Yeah. One more episode to go.
Yes. Last episode, technically a bonus episode. It's not really with, I mean, it's in the Star Wars universe, but not really part of Jedi Junkies.
Yes.
But we were not going to do it, but we were like obsessed with Mandalorian. So
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So much Baby Yoda.
So much.
Thinking about him all the time.
Every day.
I think about him a lot. Like probably more.
Probably too much.
Yeah, probably too much. Like, I think I talk about, I think about Baby Yoda and talk about Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
Like, way too much.
Christmas, Baby Yoda. Easter, Baby Yoda.
Just thinking about Baby Yoda.
He's in every moment of our lives.
Yes, he is. So after Mandalorian, so after next week's episode, we are going to be taking a 3-week break.
Mm.
And then we are coming back to you with Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
So get excited. I'm excited for this one because I think we're going to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah.
We are mostly going to be focused on the Harry Potter movies, but I am a, like, Harry Potter's probably my fandom. Like, that's, like, my fandom, I feel like. That's, like, where I really, like, shine. So I am going to incorporate a little bit of the books into it. So I think that the podcasts are going to be really interesting. So if you've only seen the movies, that's totally fine. If you're into the books, I think you're going to like it. Because we are going to incorporate that a little bit as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So thank you for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.